to turn back to the Old Testament and our scriptures in the book of Ruth this evening to see that the Lord will help us this evening as we come to look through verses 16 and 17. Many of you know the book of Ruth very well. A book that has been attached itself to us as sometimes one of the favourite books of the scriptures that we turn to and read from time to time. And we look at the book of Ruth as being one of those great love stories, one of the great love stories of the scriptures, that this woman and this man Boaz should come together. But as we look at this first chapter, it is not a chapter of love. It's not a chapter of a great love. In fact, it's a chapter of great disappointment. It's a chapter of disobedience, of great disobedience to God. It's a chapter that has taken a Jewish family out of the promised land and into a land that is forbidden to enter the land of Moab, forbidden to marry into the tribes of Moab in God's law. And we see this is how this book is etched out to us this evening. We see this man and this woman, Elimelech, and his wife, Naomi, their two sons, they find themselves in a great famine in the land. And a great famine is brought about because God has said that if they did not return to him, if they did not obey his voice and his commands, if they were not faithful to him, if they went after other lands and strange gods, he would send the pestilence. He would stop the rain and he would stop the harvest. And we see this is the story behind Ruth. Again, the Jewish nation has turned away from God. It's gone after its own false idols. As it says there, it came to pass the days when the judges ruled. And it's very true that when the judges ruled Israel, there was great turmoil amongst the people. But if we look at Judges in chapter 17, 18, 19, and 21, we find these verses. Everyone doeth what seemeth right in his own eyes. There is this wonderful book of Ruth that is brought out of this terrible, terrible attitude towards God, where men would sooner seek their own way than God's way. So there was a great famine in the land. And so this family upstates, they take down the nomadic tents and they pile them on their beasts of burden and they take them. And they have to go a great distance. If you ever look at the maps of the Holy Land and you see where they were and where they had to go and to move up, it was many days' journey. It wasn't just a short walk. It was a journey of many, many days to get there. Because they heard that in Moab there was plenty. But what they didn't realize was that in Moab they were strangers. They were strangers to the land. They were not used to the customs of the gods. They were not used to the ways of the Moabite people. And they would have to be content with being themselves strangers and outcasts in a foreign land. And they would have to work extremely hard to try and scratch a living in the land of war. But they're settled. And it's not long after they're settled down that the only son, husband, dies. He passes away in a foreign from the land. He is buried not in the land of promise, but he is buried in the land of sin, the land of sin where he lies. And so after that we see that Naomi is left with her two sons, and she has to realize that there is a way that they have to live, and how are they going to live? And so she breaks God's word again. And again we find that this time we come into this land of promise. And we find that the Lord has forbidden them to marry into the tribes of the Moabs. What does Ruth do? She marries her two sons, the daughters of Moab house. And it's not long after this that both sons are taken as well. The wrath of God is swift when it comes. The wrath of God is deliberate in cases, and probably in this case too, where the law were broken, where they turned into lands that were forbidden, where they'd taken wives that were forbidden, where they'd settled in the land of idol worship. And here this woman finds herself with two daughters-in-law, three women, all widowed, and wondering how they were going to survive. How would they earn a living, and knowing that the women were treated worse than cattle? So, there is a great, great black cloud hanging over them, we would say. Depression must have set in pretty deeply in that household. But we find that Naomi makes a decision. She makes a decision to rise and to go back to her own land. She makes a decision to go back because she heard that God had visited his people and given them bread. The word had spread from the land of promise into the land of sin, and that there she had heard that the harvest was past, the famine was past, and the harvest was good. And therefore she went forth out of the place where she was. She picked up her belongings, got the girls to pick up their belongings and go. And as it was a custom in those days, that when you were leaving a house or a place where you had been for many days, those of the household would journey with you and part of the journey to see that you were safe and take you so far, then they would bid you farewell. And this seems to be where they have come, at this point of the journey, where Naomi says unto her daughter-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. Because she's sending them back. She's no more to give them. As we read, there was no more sons in her womb. There was no more life in her. She was an old woman. She had nothing to offer. She didn't know how she would be received back in her own land. She didn't know whether there was anyone there who would remember her. Were there any kinsmen left? Was there anyone who would give her shelter? Give her a place to live? Would there be anyone? She had no idea. But one thing she had was trust. And that's what comes out of this first part. They know we have trust in the Lord. Even though she says that the Lord had dealt with her, she still had trust in God. So she sends and tells him a second time, turn my daughters, go away, for I am too old to have them. So she sends him, what would you carry for them? But then one of the daughters of God, This is from mother-in-law and returned to her own land. This girlless young woman, we hear no more of her than here. She disappeared out of the life of Ruth, out of the life of Naomi. She is no longer mentioned, except in the annals of the Jewish historians who like to create stories. They don't like stories that end without a meaning. And they have this young woman married again, and her grandson becomes a great giant for life to be slain by David. This is the story, but it's not scripture. We know not what happened to her, but the Jews like to give a story ending. They don't like things just to be cut. They like to finish with a hurrah, you may say. They love to finish their story. But Ruth cleaved to her mother-in-law. And he always says to her, but your sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her God. Become now after thy sister. And now we come, with God's help also, to look at these two verses. Wonderful verses. Verses of great love. Verses that tug at our heartstrings when we read them. But these are verses that we as Christians should be repeating to God. These are the verses that should be going over in us as we look at these and we see them. Here, in this first instance, Ruth says to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee. Look at the desire this young woman has to go with her mother-in-law. Look at the desire in her heart. She wants to go with her, to live with her. She wants to care for her. She wants to be beside her all the days of her life. She has this longing to be there. Entreat me not. Please don't send me back. Don't force me. Allow me. Permit me to go this way. In the scriptures, we read, the Lord says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and here we have Ruth, not knowing the scriptures, not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. She puts this verse into action with her mother-in-law. She's intrigued to go. She wants to go. She doesn't want to turn back. She's holding on to her mother-in-law with some strength in her arms. Entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. Follow on. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The Lord said to the disciples, and straight away they left their nets. They were prepared to go. This woman, this young woman, had a great desire to follow, not knowing. She wanted to go. Wanted to go. Then we come to these words of the statement. Whether thou goest, I go. Whether thou goest, oh, what words we have here. If we can say them to our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether thou goest, he went all the way to Calvary. He didn't turn and look back. He didn't put his hand to the plow and turn back. He went all the way for us. Whether thou goest. She didn't know where she was going. She didn't know what the promised land was like. She didn't know the customs. She didn't know the God of the promised land. She didn't know anything. It said perhaps what Ruth the But Naomi had told them in her days in that land of Moab, oh, this young woman, she has this great desire, and she starts to make this great and most wonderful promise. Whither thou goest, I will go. Not knowing the way, not knowing what lay ahead, not knowing what she would be accepted or. She's a Moabite. She's not a Jewess. The Jews have no time for her. The Jews are against her. There is nothing in this woman that would make the Jews accept her. They would blame her for the death of her husband. They would blame her sister-in-law and gone for the death of her husband and for the death of the only husband. They would blame the Moabites. They would try and put the blame upon them. There was that much hatred between the two nations. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Where thou lodgest, ask me. Oh, how many times has our Lord looked at us, called us, to a place, and perhaps we have been unable or unwilling to accept this call. Where thou lodgest, I will go. The scripture said, the Son of Man had no place to rest his head. Even in the night in which he was betrayed, he was in a garden, kneeling on the ground, because there was no He was born and there was no place for him or a stable. There was no place. When the Lord called us, he has a purpose. And he has a place prepared for us. He knows where he is leading us. We may not know. We may not be able to see clearly why God. Where the Lord, I will be lodged. Here is Ruth and Naomi on this road, traveling back to the promised land, the land that Naomi had come from. The thoughts must have been going through Naomi, I'm sure they must have been. Is my people, will they accept me? Will they take me in? Is there anyone of my kinfolk left alive who will offer me a place of lodging? But not just that. Not just that. But Ruth also. This is Naomi's fear. It may be Ruth's fear in her life, but it's Naomi's fear. Naomi is fearing. She sees this. Whither thou lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. What a wonderful statement. Coming from a Moabite fellow. Coming from one who was used to idol worship. She's turned her back on everything. On her homeland. On her own folks. Whom she'll never get back to that land again. For she will be brought up with Boaz and to be brought up in that land of promise, and she will be there, and she will have made that promise come true, but she will take the people, and they will be her people. You see what she's doing, what she's prepared to do, is to lose her past, lose it, for the sake of our future, in Christ, in God. Are we like that? Can we give up our past? Can we give up the things that are tugging at us and stopping us from fulfilling what we we know we should be doing for God. Thy people shall be mine. She gets them up. Everything she knew, everything she was brought up with, everything she was taught, she gives it up willingly. This is not forced. This is not dragged out of her. This is the willingness to serve and to be seen to be served. The willingness of our heart. We must have a willingness. Who will go? The Lord asks. And the prophet says, here am I, send me a willingness to go. Are we willing to go for God? Are we part of this people? For we have that home in glory. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Will we be rewarded? And then Naomi's great statement there, thy God, my God. The Greek complete acceptance of Jehovah. The complete acceptance. She's given up her past life. She's given up the God, the idols of silver and gold and wood or stone that sat in the corners of their homes. She's thrown them out of her heart and out of her mind. And she claims the God of Israel. She claims the God, Jehovah, my God. We notice the statement is flowed down. Everywhere else it says, Father the Lord, I will Lord, thy people shall be my people, Father thou goest, I will be thy God, my God. It is definite. It is complete in her. She now looks to one God and one God only. Not a multitude of gods, but one God. Remember that upper room. There were Thomas, my Lord and my God. He had to see the marks. This woman hadn't seen the promised land. She's heard about it. She's heard about the God of Israel. And now she says, my God, my God. A complete acceptance. Everything else goes, and there is but one God, and one God only, the Lord God Jehovah, is her God. Where thou diest, will I die. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord does so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. This closing statement in this verse takes this verse away from just being a promise of Ruth to Naomi and transforms it into a covenant between Naomi and Ruth. Ruth and Naomi. It is a covenant. For she invokes the name of the Lord. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She has promised. Now she promises in the Lord God Jehovah, and she promises in his name to be faithful. And her commitment to be sure and to be strong. She's not letting it slip. She's not letting it go. That the Lord do so to me. His name. Do we invoke God when we want to promise to do something? Or do we just think that the Lord hears and that we obey? But do we actually invoke the Lord in our promises? Do we actually invoke His name so that it becomes unbreakable? Unbreakable promise when God is the overseer of it. We cannot remove Him, but He is overseer, He has heard us, and He will keep us to our promise. And there will be no turning back, no turning away. The Lord who showed to me. And when the only and Ruth reached their hometown, the whole nation is moved. The whole city comes out to meet them. Their fear is lifted. Their fear of being abandoned. Their fear of being left without a place to call home is lifted. They have it. Everyone gathers around them and they all say, "Is this Naomi? Is this Naomi?" And Naomi is taken back. She knows she has sinned. She knows what she has done. And she says, "Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara." Mara. Empty. Empty. She's emptied herself in the sins that she committed. But she has come back, and the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. She knows, like David who says, "Against thee and against thee only have I sinned." She knows whom she has let down. She knows whom she has betrayed. But now, the story of Ruth begins to take on that great love. It begins to grow in this woman, this young woman in her care. Wants to care for the Naomi. In chapter 2 and verse 2, she says, "Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "O my God, here is this young woman. Her care is now shown us. It's full love. She wants to go. And she wants to grovel amongst the air for ears of corn that has fallen in the harvest. That has fallen in the harvest. She wants to grovel for them. And she wants to bring them back to the home. What about us? Are we prepared to do likewise? Are we prepared to go for those ears and grovel for them and bring them unto Christ? Is our love a covenant of love? For Christ is the covenant of love. He is the covenant in the New Testament. Are we part of that covenant? Are we growing daily stronger in it as Ruth did, right through to the close of this little book? She grows stronger. And we see how the Lord blesses her. We turn to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 6. There you find her name. For she is the mother of Boaz. And he is the grandfather of David, the king of whose house Christ will be born. This woman from this land of sin has become a mother in the lineage of our Savior because of her faithfulness, her trust in the God of Israel. Where is our sin? I know the nation is in such a state. But there is a great famine of the world. But why? Is it because white roads and the days of drought, there was unfaithfulness. But surely, we should be able to entreat the Lord, entreat them. Let us go and glean the fields. Let us go. That's right. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this account of Ruth that you called it for. Often, Father, we neglect the first part of the chapter. We neglect the sin that thou permitted, that thou foreknown, that thou thyself desired, so that this young woman would be in the lineage of thine only begotten Son. This was your plan, the plan that thou hast written before the foundation of the world. And Heavenly Father, we know that thou hast a plan for each of us. And so, Father, we ask that thou make thy plan clear unto us, that we may too make a covenant with thee, that we will go where thou goest, that we will find where thou abide, and that thy people shall be our people, and thy God, the heavenly God, the Father of thy Father, will be our God. So, Heavenly Father, we ask thee to help us to be strong enough to commit unto a new covenant in Christ Jesus. For we ask it in his name and for his glory.